Does your husband look at you like he used to? Do you want more attention from him? Do you want to feel irresistible again? It's time to take charge of your romance. Welcome to the Married with Romance Show. Your host is Emily Ann Weber. You can make your love life more exciting and bring back that sparkle in his eye like it used to be. Now, here is your host, Emily Ann Weber.
Hello, hello, hey everybody. Welcome to the Married with Romance Show. I'm your host, Emily Ann Weber, and I am so very glad you're here. And actually, I don't know what's going on in the universe. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad my guest's here because y'all haven't seen what's been going on for the past couple minutes, but it has been wild and crazy. And I appreciate that you're here. I appreciate that you chose to come spend your hour here with us today because we have a fun topic today. Today, the topic for the show is feng shui and romance. Oh, yes. And I have this wonderful guest. Her name is Eileen Kennedy. And she has a business called KennedyFengShui.com. And today we're going to talk about using feng shui to get more romance, to kind of ease marriage strife, to have more harmony, a little bit about money, which causes trouble in marriages a lot of times. And Eileen, thank you for being here. Thank you for being patient while we got you on the line. Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you, Emily. It's great to be here. And no worries about the initial struggles. I'm glad we're together, and I want to just welcome all the callers listening in. I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love in your bio that you say that you use classical feng shui, mm-hmm. which addresses who you are, mm-hmm. what you want, when you want it, and where you live. I think that just kind of covers everything. I think it sounds wonderful. Now, Eileen has been doing this for about 20 years, haven't you? You've been doing it a long time.
Yeah. I've been creating environments for about 20 years, and it started off as a passion of mine where I was looking around. I was in college at the time, and I started to realize that there's no way that any living creature is inert to its environment, and that there's a symbiosis back and forth. And I was interested in starting to study what different types of places, how they affected people, how what the results were of living in a certain place or around mm-hmm. certain colors, mm-hmm. and really got into feng shui about 5 years ago, coming out of design and mm-hmm. digging deeper and trying to take it further and make it personal.
And it is very personal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I have to confess, Eileen, I don't know a whole lot about feng shui. In fact, I know two things about feng shui. The first thing is that you're not supposed to put anything under your bed. Now,
okay.
I don't have anything under my bed except maybe a few dust bunnies here and there, but we won't talk about those. And the other thing I know is every time I've read a book or tried it, it seemed really complicated to me. Like there was just, it was almost like math. And you just had to think, it had so many variables. So, Would you tell, and this is really for me because everybody out there probably already knows all about feng shui, but would you just kind of tell us a little bit about what feng shui is? You said it's personal and it's about your environment, but is it energy or is it moving things around so energy can flow? What is feng shui?
Right, great question, and this is a good thing to get off at the beginning of the show. So we're all on the same page. There's, you know, feng shui, there's many types of feng shui, and all over people have the same challenge you have because sort of like every different school of feng shui or every different way of feng shui thinks that it's the best. So there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people thinking their way is the best way or their way is the only way. And really feng shui is, there are many expressions of feng shui. Feng shui means wind, water. Okay, wind, water.
Mm.
And it's how to tap into the unseen energy. Okay, it's called qi. How to tap mm-hmm. into the qi of your environment for your benefit. And this chi, this unseen energy, is carried through the air, okay? And it's affected by the land. It's affected by the buildings. It's affected by the water. It's affected by the hills, you know, coming through and meandering through. You can think of it like wind, really, carried over water. And it slows down at some times and it speeds up at other times. And what we want to do is we want to harness the best energy in our environment and bring it into our house or into our workplace so that we can benefit from it. And, you know, one of the things that makes feng shui seem complicated is because it doesn't have like a paint-by-numbers approach. There's not one-size-fits-all feng shui for everybody, although there, as people will hear today in the radio show, there are a lot of practical and applicable things that everybody can tap into. But once you start taking it further, you're right, it does become personal. And that's one of the great things about it, is that it has, it addresses who you are with what you want and when. So, like, you know, say a couple is, say you're a married couple, you'd like to have a baby, and you're buying your first home. Well, it would be a wonderful thing to buy a place that supports love and harmony and multiplication so that your family can blossom. And then wouldn't it also be great, too, if, you know, it met all the other practical needs?
Yes, I had a thought when you said that was, what if you move into a house and you can't quite put your finger on it, and if there's something that feels funny about that, is that maybe for you personally, the house is oriented in the wrong direction, or just the, I don't know, you said colors. I didn't realize colors were involved in feng shui. It would be wonderful if at the beginning of our marriage, we could choose a home that would give us everything we wanted, to prosper, to grow, to have children, to be happy, to have harmony. So how would you, a simple way, and we're going to have to go to a break in just a couple minutes because we're running a little bit late, and I don't want you to lose your thought. But, like, if you're a young couple and you know about feng shui, obviously they need to go to you and talk, right? And so what would be, like, maybe the first thing you would tell them to look for if they were looking for a house? So we've got about 1 minute.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit the microphone. I talk with my hands and then I start hitting things. They said we could go on, but you know what? Let's stop here and let you answer that question after the break, because
great,
we might have a little more flow if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'd love to kind of dive into that.
Okay.
One idea. Yeah.
Good. So thank you all for joining us, and we'll be right back after this break.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You need to live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Our listeners have told us that they want to be motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement around the clock. And we've responded to you. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's here at voiceamericaempowerment.com.
Get ahead in business and life. Read Getting It Done, 1,000 of the Best Kept Secrets for Success in Business and Life by John Capozzi. Learn how John, a successful Connecticut businessman, obtained 13 corporate promotions in 13 years. This book makes a fantastic gift for anyone who wants to get ahead in business. Voice America will donate a portion of every copy sold to the USO. Visit gettingitdone.com and enter promo code VA1234 at checkout to get a 10% discount. That's gettingitdone.com, promo code VA1234 for a 10% discount today.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card, offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALKRADIO to 96362.
You're listening to The Married with Romance Show with Emily Ann Weber. If you want to call into our show with a question or comment, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to emily@marriedwithromance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Joining me today is Eileen Kennedy of KennedyFengShui.com. And I'm going to spell Feng Shui because I never knew how to spell it. It's F-E-N-G-S-H-U-I. So it's KennedyFengShui.com. And we're talking about if a young couple knew about Feng Shui and they wanted to buy their first home or their first apartment, what are some of the things they might look for to have a harmonious marriage and a happy life and even romance in their marriage? So, Eileen, we left it when you had just started talking about that, so I'm going to let you answer that question.
For sure. Some houses are certainly better than others for love. And how do you know if you've got a good house for love, for longevity, for family life? And it's pretty much, you know, feng shui deals with four main points: where you live, who you are, what you want, and when. So literally the way your house sits in its location, if it's on a shaded hill or down in a sunny valley, it's going to affect how you experience living there. Feng shui is actually a form of house fortune telling. It's based on probability and statistics. So here's a few things that you want to look for. Number one, and we're going to go through a list. I want to just invite listeners, if you are looking for a house, to get out a piece of a pen and a piece of paper.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So you want to avoid properties that are overly shady. Even if it's a really cute place or it seems perfect, the shade is considered overly yin. And overly yin can cause a myriad of problems, especially health issues. A prominent one, which can be depression. And depression can really strain a relationship, okay?
Yes,
so
yes.
If you buy a place or you're interested at a place and it's got a lot of wonderful trees, but it just seems dark, if there's any smell of mildew or mold, if you think, look first. Can you really open up that property and prune back everything and revitalize it? Because some places are just in the shadow of mountains or hills or other buildings, and don't get good light. And when you have that overly shaded property, it's called overly yin, and health problems can come, and it's significant for that. Also, on the flip side, don't buy a place right on top of the hill. Okay, a lot of people love being on top of the hill, you know, like I'm king
get
of the hill.
View.
Yeah, we've got the view. We won. You know, we've arrived. We've made it. And the problem that happens when you're right on top of the hill, it's kind of like you can imagine like a bald head out there in the world, right on top. You're very exposed. Okay, you've generally it's extremely hot. You know, you get a relentless sun. You have a problem with wind. Very windy on the top of a hill. And there's that happens because a lot of the trees have been logged, so you can have the view. So I would say it causes a feeling of being overexposed, okay? And it can cause a lack of privacy. Certainly, if there's other houses that might be on hills higher than you, they can see you very well, and it can be stressful. Certainly, if you live at a windy location on the very top of a hill, it's considered in feng shui not to be sentimental, not to be sweet. If it's always windy, the qi, the energy is dispersed. So it doesn't have a chance to really calm down and collect and come on into your place. So, you know, overly shady and on the, you know, overly exposed, neither are very good.
But what about if you, like, I live in the Northwest and it's cloudy and rainy most of the time here. Is our physical areas of the country, would that fall into play too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that, in terms of your feng shui, one of the things I do in my business is I look at where in the country or where in the world is good for you to live in terms of your feng shui. And if a place with a lot of rain is sympathetic or helpful, or if you need more of a place like the Southwest where it's very dry and arid, one of the things we do is we look at, you know, the backbone of feng shui is based on this ancient Chinese system that expresses energy in pitchers. And these pitchers, there's five main energies that are expressed, and they are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And so, say, Emily, like you said, you live in the Northwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, say, if you live in the Northwest, and you might be a person that happens to need a lot of water, then we would say, perfect, it's a harmonious match. But if you're living there and you happen to struggle with a lot of emotional issues, you're living in a very rainy, damp climate, you are there's a lot of drama in your life, you've got the blues, you are...
I always feel like I'm mildewing.
Yeah, then it's time to go somewhere else. And let's see, a couple other things about your home. Having a hill behind the house when you're looking to buy a property, having a hill behind you can provide a sense of security and calmness, okay? How great is that for a relationship? For couples, security and calmness, so you can be present together. And having a hill behind you will support wealth accumulation, so it will ease your financial stress. How great is it to have basically something in your land, in your home, in your location, that is helping retain your money, helping to bring stability and calmness?
Wow. And romance. Then you could be romantic when you're stable and calm and have harmony and don't have money issues. And you can
focus
on
because how often
other.
Do money issues, you know, take the fun out of being together? Or how often does the stress of work or the worries? And, you know, a lot of issues that arise in sharing a home with someone, especially, you know, I mean, we're here today talking about spouses. But it could also be if we have a listener that might be just having a housemaid or a child, or maybe they're taking care of aging parents.
Anybody in your house.
Anybody in your house. A lot of issues that come up have to do with control, okay? And most of us are uncomfortable with boundary intrusions. You know, is that my space, your space, whose space is this, you're in my space. And so, you know, it's a complex thing, but love and harmony in relationship depend on so many things. And feng shui can address really all of them.
You know, I think of feng shui kind of like the law of attraction, because I'm really big into the law of attraction. You know, even though you may be a person that doesn't necessarily kind of believe it or buy into it, it's kind of at work anyway, right? Because it is the flow.
You know, I had come into feng shui from a very suspiciously. I was very suspicious at first, and I thought, you know, I couldn't really sort out the what seemed real and truthful or scientific with what was, you know, I couldn't tell what was quality and what wasn't.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things listeners can understand probably pretty easily is, and I'll give you just an example, like the entryway of your home. When you keep the entryway of your home clear and you don't let the mail pile up, you don't let the shopping bags pile up, if you happen to take your shoes off, Don't let them tumble everywhere. Put them away nice and neat. When you keep that space, the entryway of your home, fresh and welcoming, when you come home, there's a feeling of peace and serenity. There's a feeling of safety and comfort, and you can drop into relaxing immediately. Okay, so it's not like you come through the door and, kicked over the shoes, had to squeeze in past the coats, and there's that pile of bills. No.
Guilty. As soon as we get off this call, I have a staircase full of cowboy boots and coats, and I'm going to go put all my coats up in my cowboy boots.
Yeah, I recommend people keep the coats out that you're wearing this week or, this time of year, and the main ones. So for me, I have two coats. My daughter has two coats. And for our shoes, we have about, I'd say I'm guilty of having a lot of shoes by the door, but we don't have more than six pair total, tucked away in a shoe shelf. So you just, sometimes they pile up and then just put those in the closet and keep it simple and welcoming so that it's really a transition. The entryway into anything is a place of transition from one world to another.
Oh, that's a lovely way to look at it. Your entryway is a place of transition from one world to the other. Your work world, your outside environment.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me have a whole different perspective of my entryway now.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how can you facilitate whatever it is you're after? Yeah. So this is the beginning right there.
Mm-hmm. How about, you always hear, if you want to bring new things into your life, if you want to bring energy into your life, clean out your closet. Is that kind of the same thing? You're just kind of, I don't know if it's the same thing or not, but it seems like when I want new clothes, I just go clean out my closet and give away a bunch of clothes, and then I just get new clothes.
a lot, that would be space clearing. And a lot of people are into space clearing and feng shui for space clearing. I totally think it works. I'm not the best at it myself. It's not my specialty because I live personally in a very small home, and it's a very, very old house without much storage space. So I keep things kind of minimal, but my closets are full. I have two closets in the whole house, and they're packed.
So, oh, wow.
I'm not big into space clearing, but certainly when you create room for something, when you create room in your life, whatever it is, for something else, there's space for it to arrive. Yeah.
So you were talking about how you were looking for the right thing that fit about feng shui for you, that made it very real for you. Is there one thing that clicked with you that you said, okay, this is it, I've got this, this is what I do, this works for me?
Well, to be honest, I had a marriage that collapsed. And when I started, right around the time I started studying feng shui, and I started to see all the problems in the marriage mirrored in the house and mirrored in the land. And I started to realize that it was a neighborhood of single women, and it was a neighborhood of no men. And I started to realize that the house, so the whole, that there was a health issue associated with the house for the male. And all of these things, and sure, this was after things had already happened. After my husband had gotten sick, after the marriage was tumbling, after our wonderful daughter was born, and on and on. So it was, things happened, then I started studying feng shui, and I was so shocked
by what I saw. Because it made sense.
And it's very common that your building or your home is a mirror of you or some of the deepest issues you might have.
Ah.
Do we have time for an example?
We've got a quick example. I think we've got about another minute and a half, so sure.
Okay, so say you're really shy. And you don't like being seen. You're very private. You want to buy a place where you can really be yourself and you be open and free. But then you buy a place that's very private, and then suddenly it starts to feel like kind of depressing and invisible. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're invisible. And you think, how is this happening? Maybe you have a business from home and no customers aren't coming by. You know, and you've chosen a property that mirrors what's already there. Then maybe you have the opposite, right? You're an exhibitionist, so you buy a place that's overly exposed. You never have time to relax. And so these things are going to affect your love life, right, in a very deep way, because at the core of coming together as a couple is how you're feeling in yourself.
Right, right. Wow. Who knew that it was that involved? I didn't. This is so interesting. It's like you can take it into every single area of your life.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you need to tap into, whether it's something like leadership or creativity, you can use feng shui romance to fine-tune.
Yes. Well, we've got to run, take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about romance a little bit and things we can do. So thank you all for joining us, and we will be right back after this break with Eileen.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Boxing, like networking, is a contact sport. The more contacts and connections you make, the greater your success. If you're a business owner, sales agent, or job seeker, it's all about the connection. If you want help in your corner, pick up a copy of Knockout Networking today by speaker and author Michael Goldberg. Michael's book will absolutely help you generate more prospects, more referrals, and more business, or more job leads, or even more social connections. Knockout Networking will help you feel more confident speaking with people you don't know. Determine who your target market is, the best way to introduce yourself at business meetings, how to deliver an elevator pitch, follow-up, and how to generate more leads. Social media isn't always the answer, but Knockout Networking is. Visit KnockoutNetworking.com to pick up your copy of Michael Goldberg's book, Knockout Networking. Remember, nothing happens in business without a connection, so make the right connections. Visit KnockoutNetworking.com today.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit MarchOfDimes.com.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're listening to The Married with Romance Show with Emily Ann Weber. If you want to call into our show with a question or comment, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to emily@marriedwithromance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Eileen Kennedy from KennedyFengShui.com is joining me. And we are talking about feng shui, romance, marriage, and all that good stuff. So, Eileen, let's talk a little bit about, we've talked about buying a home for a young couple and the things that you would look for in even in our homes. But if a couple's having trouble, there's a lot of fussing and fighting, and there might be some tension in the house, and they are, you know, they're just on edge, and they walk on eggshells all the time. What is something that they could do to be more relaxed with each other, to create more harmony? Is there one thing that they could do that would help?
Yes. And that's a great question because, you know, I'm speaking from experience. I'm happy to say, right, like you asked, what was my trigger point and what brought me into this is I can tell you when When things are tense and no one can think straight, you can't even begin to relax. So one of the feng shui solutions I'd like to recommend for is, I'd like to actually recommend two solutions for helping ease tension in the home. And one of them, let's start off with your living room or your family room, the main room where you sit with your family, where you spend time together. And I'd like you to look at how your seating area is laid out, where your sofa is, where your chairs are, okay? And I want your main sofa, if you don't have a sofa, your main big chairs, to be oriented so that when you're sitting on that couch or you're sitting in those chairs, you have the best view of the room, okay? And what that means, I want you to be able to see the most of the room. I want you to be able to see so you have good visibility if someone's coming in. If it's an open floor plan, you can see people in the adjoining areas. And I'd like you to have a wall behind you, okay? This way, you can totally relax. The wall behind you is protective, and it kind of wipes out the chance of somebody coming up from behind you, okay?
Right.
Peeking over your shoulder while you're reading your book, right? And definitely, you know, you might be able to, you know how if you work at a desk that's facing a wall, you might be startled sometimes when someone comes up behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can affect your sense of privacy and comfort. So if your sofa's got its back to the wall, and say you and your honey are on the couch cuddling, maybe after the kids have gone to bed, you don't need to be worried about privacy, because you have privacy if there's the wall behind you and you have good visibility from where you are, then you can see.
You have privacy.
One of the children is coming in, and you can relax and be with your sweetheart and be present, and you can enjoy each other more and become closer. So there's nobody, you know, right behind you, or, you know, it's just you're there and you can see the room.
That makes sense. Yeah.
One thing I would recommend, and also if there's in that same line, if there's a lot of arguing, you can feel a lot more empowered when you have a wall behind you and you can look at the person and speak to them directly from any part of the room, okay, from where you're seated, as opposed to turning over your shoulder. I'm sure a lot of listeners have had the experience of a spouse watching television and turning their head over their shoulder to kind of say some comment.
Mm-hmm.
Commenting, you know, kind of blah, 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 and then turning back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that doesn't feel good, right? And it doesn't feel good for either anybody. So when there is a wall behind you and you're sitting there watching your television or whatever you're doing, you can look out and actually say to the other people in the room what you have to say, as opposed to kind of throwing the words back over your shoulder. Another tip, gently moving water is considered sentimental. Okay, and being sentimental can ease the stress of relationship struggles. So using one of the best ways I recommend to get water gently moving is to use beautiful fresh flowers in your home with a vase of fresh, clear water. Okay, and why does that work? So first of all, this will encourage more sweetness because, of course, there's the fragrance. And then the flowers are taking up the water, drinking it up through their stems, okay? And that process of drinking up the water is gently moving the water. And as when we're around slow-moving water, it can produce deep feelings of relaxation and calmness. So I would say get fresh flowers in the house, keep them fresh, change the water often. Don't let the water become stagnant, and, you know, rotting flowers will not have a sparkly effect.
And I have a great idea. I think husbands who are listening to this should weekly bring your wife home fresh flowers to put in the beautiful vase with the water to promote. Yes.
Sentimentality.
But you know, I would have thought you would have had to have had like a little fountain or something in the room, but just a little vase of water with flowers.
Yeah, and
it's
be
simple.
Careful with the fountains because they can be annoying. You know, they can be really annoying. So
That is true.
I would say, like, you know, if any of you listening today are thinking of getting a feng shui fountain, hold off. You know, hold off. And if you want, come talk to me about it. You can also post questions on my Facebook wall. I have it's Kennedy Feng Shui. It's Eileen, let's see, it's Facebook.com, Eileen Kennedy Designer Consultant. You're welcome to go there, Eileen Kennedy Designer Consultant, and ask me any feng shui question you have. And I answer them on Facebook so that it's a public and other people can benefit from it.
So, Eileen, let's move to the bedroom.
Yeah.
What? Because we all, you know, want romance. Well, most of us anyway. I think everybody listening to this show wants more romance anyway. What can we do in the bedroom that would, I mean, we know things like, that we think we know, like candles and, you know, low lighting and mood lighting. But in the bedroom itself, what are some things, besides keeping the dust bunnies out from under your bed, what are some things we can do to promote romance and, you know, more intimacy?
Right, right. Well, number one, privacy and quiet are crucial in a bedroom. So sleeping in a part of your house that is private and away from the street is the number one important. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are in your bedroom, you have a sense, you can relax and have a sense of ease. You can have a sense that you are able to, you know, maybe even it's a place that during the day you can go in there and the lights can be dimmed and it's a nurturing space. Because the bedroom is for many things. You know, besides sleep and rest, making love, it's a place of rejuvenation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd like to start and just start giving people some tips for the bedroom right now.
Okay, we'll have to take a break in a couple minutes, but please start, and then I'll just we'll stop at a good place and then come back and let you finish because I know this is what people want to hear. So yes, please go.
Okay, great. So. So one of the things you definitely want is to have your bed in a position where you can see the door, okay? Kind of like in the living room with the sofa where you have good visibility. Well, in your bedroom, when you can lie in bed and see the door, you can also be relaxed, okay, as opposed to some people placing their bed behind the door, okay? So if you, like, bed is behind the door, it marginalizes you.
Okay, so that what about if it's to the side? Like if it's, you know, your door to your bedroom is to the side of your bed.
Right.
Is that still, that counts?
No, yeah, that counts. You know, that's okay. That's okay. I would say that in that position, you have one person that sleeps near the door, right? And somebody that sleeps away from the door. And that person that sleeps near the door is kind of like the doorkeeper. You know, they're like the guard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the guard and you're sleeping on the door side of the bed, that's fine unless you're dealing with a lot of stress and tension. And you might want to try then sleeping on the other side of the bed.
Oh.
Because, you know, if like you get a hotel room and there's two beds next to each other, say you're traveling with a young child, you would probably choose the bed closer to the door for yourself.
Yes.
Generally. And then
just
the child,
because it feels right.
It feels right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, same as if you're sharing a bed with somebody, a lover, a spouse, then, you know, typically the more dominant, protective partner is going to be in the position near the door.
Yes.
Okay, that works fine unless that person is under a lot of stress and tension. And in that case, it might be good to try rearranging the bedroom.
Okay. Yeah. Hold that thought, Eileen.
Okay.
If you don't mind, we're going to run, take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Sure.
So thank y'all for joining us, and we'll be right back to talk to Eileen again after the break.
Great.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card, offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
Remember what life was like when you were a kid? When you had that zest for living and discovery, that total lightness of being. Can you still experience that today? Listen to Joy Awareness Radio with host Marlene Bork. Our show will invite you to be happier, to enjoy living a more conscious and exciting life. Learn from our guests and contributors, just like you, and make this your weekly stop to rediscover the capacity that you could be accessing. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Question: what's working and what's not working in your life? Though we resolve each year to do things differently and we want what's great for our businesses, our relationships, our health, and more, we don't always know where to turn when life gets tough. That's where Leading Life Large with host Rob Braun comes in. Our show challenges you to reevaluate where you are and keep pushing your way to the success you desire. If you want it bad enough, we can help you turn your life around. Leading Life Large airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to The Married with Romance Show with Emily Ann Weber. If you want to call into our show with a question or comment, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to emily@marriedwithromance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Eileen Kennedy and I are just chatting about feng shui and romance and homes and marriages. And this last part, we're really specifically talking about the bedroom. So, as you were saying when we went to the break, Eileen, you said that as long as you can see the door in your bedroom, that's a good thing, as long as you can see, because it feels protected and safe and comfortable. As long as your bed is where you can see the door. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. As long as you're not, like, marginalized behind the door. Something else is, you know, a lot of times we don't notice this, but it's important to have two symmetrical or equally proportionate bedside tables on either side of your bed. They don't need to match, but they need to be of a similar size and similar weight. And why you need that is... you know, a lot of times, you know, like in a single person's home, the single person has just one bedside table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with like a glass of water and your lamp for reading.
Right.
Okay. So when you want to have, you know, one of the things we always say to invite space in your life for a partner is to actually be ready and have a second bedside table, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's equality in this. Sometimes you'll see couples who have one bedside table really sparse, the other one has like books, like, you know, 30 books piled up. And, you know, that you want to break that down and keep them similar. You also want to have, you know, some people have wooden floors or tile or stone floors through their house. And if you do, you put a little rug next to your bed, right? So that in the morning when you wake up, your feet touch the ground, there's a sense of warmth. Okay. Now, you don't just do it on the side that's visible, okay, near the door or whatever, and the person on the other side, because, you know, maybe you only bought one rug because it was a nice oriental Persian carpet or something like that.
And you wanted to make it lovely.
You want to make it look good, right? So you just have one on your side, but your partner's got, you know, the cheap one over there or bare floor. Okay. You get my point. It's not nice. So
no.
To have both symmetrical, okay? They don't need to be matching. They don't need to be the same, but an equal quality. So having that equality can bring a sense of harmony. Also, something else. Having a headboard behind your bed is good for unifying your bed and bringing the sides together. So it can give more of a pod-like feeling and a sense of togetherness. There's a traditional Armenian wedding toast that I heard about once, and I love how it expresses the closeness that everyone hopes for in a newly married couple. And here's the toast. It says, "May you grow old on one pillow together."
Oh.
Yeah. May you grow old
lovely.
On one pillow together. Yeah, you know, and I'm not saying you need to share a pillow per se, but that sentiment, you know,
space.
And that's something mm-hmm. that a headboard can do. It can be unifying and indicating a solid relationship.
Does it have to be a solid headboard, or can it be an iron headboard? Does it matter?
It's recommended to be a solid headboard. Okay, so you can have an upholstered headboard would be
mm-hmm.
ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be expensive either. You know, upholstered headboard can be... a DIY project, you know, certainly if you, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. get up online. And another thing is don't have your bed against a wall with plumbing in it, okay? So,
oh, good point.
Yeah, okay, so one of the reasons is because of sound, okay? Sound, flushing of toilets, running of sinks, the draining of a bath. Okay, that's very disturbing while you're sleeping. Okay, you have your, you know, you're just tucking in for the night, and mm-hmm. suddenly your spouse is running a bath and draining the tub, and right by your head. It's, you will not fall asleep for a while.
It doesn't sound very nice.
You know, you will not fall asleep for a while. Hearing that, you know, you have a guest, and, you know, people are flushing the toilets, and you're trying to rest. It's not, it violates your sense of privacy. And also, having water right near your head and all those plumbing pipes, it's not considered healthful or relaxing.
But do you need water in your bedroom like you do the living room?
You could have fresh flowers. Again,
the same thing, fresh flowers.
Uh-huh. You could put fresh flowers near your bed on your bedside tables for sentimentality and romance. Water is definitely, slow, gently moving water definitely promotes feelings of sweetness. And, you know, you mentioned at the beginning of the call, I think we were on the show at this time, something about having your bed above the floor. You said you didn't know much about feng shui besides, you know, to keep your bed off the floor.
Yeah, and, having nothing under your bed.
And like, you know, the, number one, that provides ventilation, you know, for your mattress and keeps air circulating and keeps it fresh. But also, like, a lot of people store things like old boxes of photos under there.
Yes,
relics
yes.
from past marriages, you know. Get it
yes.
out. You know, that's not the place to store your old
especially the relics
album.
For past marriages. That is definitely not the place for that, is it?
Yes.
What about colors in your bedroom? Are there certain... See, I didn't realize that color was a part of feng shui until you said that earlier. How about colors in your bedroom? Are there... you know, we always hear about red promotes romance and passion. Does that hold true in feng shui?
Right. So, a lot of people will say, some people think color doesn't have anything to do with feng shui, but there are, you know, feng shui actually does have a color system, and it's complementary in some ways to Western color theory. And red is, an exciting color. It's an exciter. People know that if they wear red when they go out on a date or they get noticed, you know, men tend to be very attracted to the color a woman wearing red.
Mm-hmm.
Red is the color of life. It's the color of blood. It's the color of, danger and passion. But in a bedroom, bedrooms are not just about hot sex and
no.
making love. Mm-hmm. It's also a place of rest and rejuvenation. So
rejuvenation.
I never really recommend red for a bedroom. I think softer colors are better. Some people recommend pink. I'm fond of recommending purples and keeping the bedroom keeping it kind of harmonizing between sleep and heat.
Oh, that makes sense. I have, we've got a couple minutes to close, Eileen, and I did want to mention one thing. I think people will ask, can they work with you and work with feng shui? Does it have to be live or can it be virtual? And your answer to me was, you work with all your clients virtually, correct?
I work with everybody virtually, yeah. I have an online feng shui business. And the way we do it is we, first of all, look at your, read your astrology chart. It's called Batsa. And we look at that to assess who you are. And we talk about who you are and what you want, where you live. And when you work with me, you get a free feng shui course, a 4-week, 5-hour feng shui course that you start to learn how to tap into your environment, how to tap mm-hmm. into the world all around you.
And just the little things that you can do.
Yeah,
little things. Immediately.
Exactly. Yeah. Things. So that was one question you had, is how long does feng shui take to happen? And you can tap into it and things can happen right away. And you can also do feng shui for long term.
I hate to interrupt you, Eileen. We've got just a few seconds left. And I just wanted to make sure I told you thank you. You have been a lovely guest to have on. And I want to have you back because I think there's so much more and so many questions people would love to ask you. And I just wanted to tell all our listeners, please go to our website, KennedyDesignFengShui.com. KennedyFengShui.com.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for being here today. And I want to say especially thank you to Michael, who's my engineer, who keeps us straight, keeps us from panicking around here. But I just want to wish all of you all the romance your heart can hold. We'll see you next week. We have a guest here next week. And just thank you so much for being here. And Eileen, I hope you'll come back.
Sounds fun. Thanks for the invitation.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Y'all take care and have a wonderful day and go out and try to outlove each other.
Thanks for listening this week. Emily Ann Weber will be back with some more tips and tricks to put the sizzle back in your love life on next week's edition of the Married with Romance Show. Be here next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Until then, why don't you try some of what you've heard with your man?
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.